Sermon for today, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, I called God Cares for You. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
2 weeks ago, we talked about some debates in which Jesus took part during the first Holy Week. The time between his triumphant ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and his execution on Good Friday. That covered the waterfront, didn't it? Three groups within Judaism each took one last stab at trying to make him look bad. Each of them failed to humiliate him. He turned the tables and humiliated them. So they did what they needed to do to have him killed. The parable Jesus tells in today's gospel lesson comes just before those three final encounters. So it is reasonable to imagine that it is what led directly to them. It is another parable about wedding invitations to which the guests RSVP, "No, I've got something better to do," and then live to regret it, or more to the point, die regretting it. The wedding idea, that the relationship between God and his people is like the relationship between a husband and wife, begins slowly in the Old Testament and then gains some steam in the Gospels and Epistles. By the end of the New Testament, it stands alone as the final revelation of what our relationship to Jesus is all about. The Old Testament books which get at the idea most directly are the Song of Songs and the book of Hosea, the prophet. The Song of Songs works on the literal level as sensuous erotic poetry. It can also be taken from there to be a parable of the romance between God and Israel, a romance which ends when the handsome prince comes down from heaven to rescue his fallen bride, the church. God calls Hosea to be a prophet and tells him to marry a woman named Gomer. After Hosea marries Gomer, he discovers that she is promiscuous. When he complains to God about his arranged match, God replies, "Now you know what it is like for me to have Israel as my bride." God is talking about the way Israel consistently adulterated the loyalty she had pledged to her one God by chasing after many false gods. Early in St. John's Gospel, John the Baptist describes his relationship to Jesus as that of a best man to a bridegroom. The best man comes out first to get things ready for the groom. When the groom appears, the best man fades into the background. Jesus gives us parables like today's, which liken heaven to a wedding banquet and the whole world to the invited guests. He performs his first miracle at a wedding reception. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians that the intimacy of the relationship between a husband and wife is like the intimacy of the relationship between Christ and the church. Finally, in the book of Revelation, the church appears as a spotless bride, all dressed up for her husband, Jesus. The same transforming power of God, which brings forgiveness out of sin and restoration out of decay and life out of death, changes a whore in the beginning to a virgin at the end. With all of this load upon it, we can hardly be surprised that marriage turns out to be so difficult or so important. The twist in today's parable comes with what St. Matthew calls a man which had not on a wedding garment. After the guests the king invited refused their invitations, a rather dramatic escalation of violence follows. Then the king tells his servants to go out and round up anybody they can find. The only criterion for admission to the wedding reception now is not moral achievement, but the mere willingness to show up. When the king comes into the ballroom to welcome his guests, he sees a man who is not dressed properly for the occasion, and he asks him why he is not dressed properly for the occasion. When the man cannot give him an answer, the king calls his bouncers and has the man thrown out. "Oh, unfair, unfair. The man probably didn't have time to change after he got his invitation, or maybe he couldn't afford a nice outfit. So how can God be so mean?" The answer is that the man who is not dressed properly represents the person who has not made a full and complete commitment. Proper dress is the perfect way to talk about that sort of wrong attitude. A person who goes to any sort of function and goes out of his way not to dress appropriately is saying, "I am going to be here, but I will be here on my own terms. I am not going to conform to anyone else's expectations. I am going to do it my way." There's a song about that. That may be all well and good and independent and being your own person and unhypocritical, but it is not the attitude to have if you want to get into the kingdom of God, if you want to go to heaven. God doesn't want you to do it your way. He wants you to do it His way. God is not interested in your iconoclastic independence. God wants to know if you intend to shape up and get with His program. The wedding garment is the garment of humility. I am arrogant enough to tell you that is so, and that I know it is so because God told me so. Humility does not consist of groveling around and pretending to be less than you are. The first step in humility is realizing that despite outward appearances to the contrary, you are not God. The next step in realizing that if you are going to get to heaven, it will not be because God needs someone with whom He can talk on His own level. It is going to be because God loves you and He wants you to know He forgives you. As St. Peter, no shrinking violet himself, puts it, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.